Well, our next guest is Eric Avila. He has over the past 10 years grown his coaching from a handful of kids to more than 1,000 kids. And I'm really looking forward to this. This is a program I look forward to with Lance and now with Eric. Are you there, Eric?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me on.
Well, look, any man that can help 1,000 children, we want on our program.
That's funny. I think they helped me more.
Well, don't they teach you? What is it that they teach us rather than we teach them?
Yeah, that's true. And sometimes, you know, they say the teacher appears. When the student is ready, the teacher appears. But I do think in some cases it was I appeared and then the student appeared to help me.
Well, you're on with Lance Jensen, who I've found fascinating. But we always ask our guests the first question we ask, and you have a particular background, a little bit about their personal background before we get into anything else. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. My name's Eric Avila. I own a company called Avila Creative Soccer. Basically, we teach children to play soccer, and we try to do that really brilliantly. And it's indoor. This is Texas, so it's pretty hot. One thing, soccer is a sport that's really come of age in the United States, and it's a sport that's important for children, and it's social. My parents are social workers, so I think on a personal note, that's something that helped me a lot because they gave me a sociological lens. And kids need that sort of alternative today where, you know, a program that's based on, you know, having fun and participation and not just about power and performance.
Well, also don't you, but Eric, aren't you a past heavily involved as a player in soccer?
Yes, I definitely did come to it from the professional soccer point of view. I played World Cup qualifiers at Puerto Rico, and I did some stints in Argentina and Buenos Aires and London, Liverpool, Winterswijk, Holland. I also studied sports science, so I have an academic background. However, I still think that my mom and dad, Sylvia and Peter, who are both sociologists, have really given me the greatest gift in terms of kind of constructing this business and working with children, because sports are mechanisms of socialization.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm a lot older than you guys. I don't know about Lance, but I'm older. And soccer was never the sport of America. But now when I pass the fields, wherever I go, soccer seems to be taking on more and more. It's also influenced because so many Latinos have come to the States. Have you seen that, and is that part of the reason you do this?
Certainly, but not just soccer. All the sports have changed, even sports from the 1920s. Like, there's a great famous golfer, Bobby Jones, who was an amateur. The golfers who were famous in the 60s, like Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus, who were professionals and made millions of dollars from things like Nike and Adidas, they still say that guy was their childhood hero. And people swear by that he was one of the greatest ever. And that's something that all sports have lost, is this sort of innocence. And today, sports is a lot about business, much more than it is simply like an aspect of social life.
Mm-hmm. But why have we not developed a superstar in soccer today?
Well, I think one thing you mentioned is it showed up late. And people who first came here were not encouraged. It's about 80 years behind the other sports that were invented in America. And the people who first came here were not encouraged to sort of bring their soccer. They were encouraged to assimilate and play American sports. So that's one of the main reasons. It's just behind the other sports that were invented here.
Well, let's go a little bit. What about the boys and girls? I've noticed that there's almost as many girl leagues as there are boys leagues. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, and that's a credit to the United States of America, because really, you can look at the history of the suffragette movement in the 1920s. Then in 1971 or 73, I think, this whole sort of Title IX legislation, which said you had to use equal amounts of money and resources for women's sports. Then what happens is later on, we see the 91ers as the first sort of famous American female soccer players who became role models. So there are so many women sports, you know, that it's so much bigger in the United States, but it's because of the legislation that's been passed. I don't know that we'll ever see gender equity in sports, though, until we see more women in positions of authority.
Okay. Now, since we're a small business site, let's talk about your business. You started out with 10 or 15 kids, and now you do 1,000, and you have 3 facilities. Tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, I like I said, I was born with this passion for soccer, and I guess you know, that's something that any CEO or any person who's an entrepreneur, they do have to have a passion and a vision. So that's something that I kind of had for me, going for me. And I, to be honest, it was raining, and I noticed I was making some money, and it started raining for 3 weeks. I just wanted to get out of the rain, and I figured I guess I need to put a roof over my head. Everything I learned in business, though, I kind of learned it like that organically. Like, I didn't know about putting a roof over my head so I could stop getting rained on that I would actually be starting a business.
Well, you know, it's ironic because before you joined us, Lance was saying one of the advantages of franchising was that it helps you avoid mistakes. There's a great example for you, Lance.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that, and I think that's true. I made so many mistakes. If it wasn't for the fact of the support of my family, the support of the fact that soccer is business, sports are business, you know, and Calvin Coolidge, American president, you know, kind of said it best: the business of America is business. So the fact that I took a sports franchise and not franchise, it's not a franchise, but the fact that I kind of thought about it as a business and said to myself, well, you know, what could I do differently, you know, and offer an alternative, is, you know, it's been fortunate that I picked this field, because I've made so many mistakes, but it's a field that's come of age, and there's so many people playing.
Well, just give us what you consider your worst mistake. Then we'll ask you what was your best decision. So what was your worst mistake?
Well, just not understanding margins. You need cash. I didn't understand how to get simple things like a loan. And after what happened, you know, with the subprime home loan mortgage crisis, I guess in 07 and 08, I guess conventional loans became very difficult to come by, you know. And I think that I learned, in my case, I was able to get help from friends and my family. But also I went to direct lenders, because I actually used merchant cash and capital. But I needed cash quickly at times. They helped me with that. So I had to learn tricks like that. So my greatest mistake was just not anticipating that, wow, I'm making all this money, but in fact I was also spending a lot of money, not understanding the margins.
Well, let me go to Lance for a minute, because I do know that in franchising, you do look at the financials of any potential franchisee. Is that a way of ensuring the biggest reason companies fail in the first 5 years is lack of financing? Is that one of the advantages of franchising?
Yeah, one of the big advantages of franchising is that you have an entity that helps coach you through the financial side. And so you're able to take a look at, you know, I can take a look at somebody's financials and understand whether they're capable of making the investment or not, and then supporting it, because, you know, it takes time, effort, energy, and money and passion to drive a business. And that financial piece is a really, really important part of it. And, you know, like Eric found out, loans aren't as easy to come by as they were 10 years ago. And yeah, that's an important piece.
Well, now we'll go to Eric. How do you get your how do you get your young people to come to you?
Yeah, people always talk about word of mouth, and I've gone back and forth with that. At first, I saw it working for me. Then I thought, well, let me try some technology. And what I found is that technology is needed, especially you have to be good with content management systems and customer relation management systems. But in the end, it comes back down to that, which is word of mouth. That is such an important thing. Just do a really good job with the people you have and make them into fans. But they want to go out and talk to other people. They're not clients. They're not just patrons. But they become fans, and they start to talk about you, and they want to talk about you just the way fanatics of a soccer team do. So I realize that that has been the number one selling point, is word of mouth.
Okay. You have three facilities. You're located in Texas. Whereabouts in Texas?
Austin, Texas, so a little bit north Austin. I started out on the banks of the Colorado River, which kind of dissects the city of Austin, just working out outside, and it was really hot, and then it started raining, and I said, gosh, I got to get a roof over my head.
So what did you do?
I started with very little money.
So what
did you do? Well, you know, I got the money together, you know, my mother and Like, at that time, I took, like, a student loan. I was still, you know, doing my master's, and I just kind of took a risk, not really knowing.
Did you build a facility?
Yes. The facilities are indoor. They're about the size of a Starbucks, so they're not really what you'd think. And I try to tell people like this, you know, big sort of complexes or soccer complexes, those places rent out sort of the field. They're like hardware companies, but my business is like a software company. We teach kids how to play soccer, and so we don't need a big space. We just need four walls, some turf, and it's a more intimate experience in terms of like being able to give that direction and create new moves.
So yes. And I had a vision that you're out there in the middle of a field, and you know they're running, but you're really concentrating on how to move their feet, how to control the ball, how to hit the ball with the head, etc. Am I right on that?
Yeah, I think that that's something that has kind of been missed with soccer. The sports in America are based on power and performance. In other words, football, how hard can you hit? Baseball, how fast can you swim? I mean, swing the bat. A basketball, how high can you jump? But soccer is just about the creativity of the moves. Often there's no score in the game. So that's another reason you asked earlier, why hadn't it taken on at first? Because it's an acquired taste. But I kind of started this business with that creativity in mind. We don't even have soccer goals in these fields. We spend the time working on creative moves, and kids love that.
It's you. Do you have a staff?
Yes, indeed. I mean, we have about 18 people on board between the people who work with the website, brand management, marketing, creative direction, search engine optimization. But then we also have the training staff.
Well, how do you find your training staff?
That's a good question. It's something I'm always looking for. Sometimes people come to me, people refer, and I really am like, I really care about the skill level of the children. However, I mean, of the coach, but I'm really looking for that they care about children and that they have a certain mental endurance, that if they step on the field to do a lesson, that they kind of, they can be what I call in business, be present with the client, you know, and if they have these certain qualities, this mix, I tend to cut them a lot of slack and will work with them one-on-one until I kind of get them to a point where I feel like they can render the brand. So I look for the qualities and go from there. And if, you know what? If I don't have a spot for that person, I'll make the spot. You know, if they're good and they have those things, I'll make the spot.
So you find people, which most small businesses will tell you is the toughest part of their job, is finding the right people. And if they don't have all of the skills, you'll teach them. Am I hearing you correctly?
Yeah, I like I said, I think that I'm not just looking for the methodology, or in other words, in this case, skills. I'm looking for a certain sociology, that they care deeply about helping kids. And if they have those basic tenets, then, yes, I'm willing to really work with people. But, yeah, my advice to any business owner is that you really do have to find the right people because, you know, as a friend of mine used to say, ecosystems outlast organisms. You have to be able to have the people around you that you can defer to, that you can trust, that you feel good about.
What do you think?
You know, that's, you know, Eric, so the best, some of the best employers I've ever seen and been around, the saying, hire for attitude, teach skills. I think it sounds to me like you kind of got that picture.
Sure. I hope so. I had to learn a lot of this organically. In fact, it's so funny that I never think of myself as a business person, but I've been asked to speak by the Chamber of Commerce, and at some point several years ago, I started to see myself that way, that maybe I have developed some business acumen. And kind of take pride in that. But I do think I'd like to say I was a creative soccer player, and the common denominator for me is that creativity really is the currency of business. And I think that's a very important thing for business owners to understand. And you can see the proof in the pudding when the sort of economy tanked in 2007, you could see unemployment in the up to 18% in the manufacturing sector, up to 18% in the service sector. But when you look at the private sector, something like 3-4%, because these little creative businesses have that ability to survive using that creativity. It's a very important thing that I think gets undervalued.
That's a really accurate statement. Very, very interesting. Gentlemen, do you want to stay on? Our next guest is one I've been looking forward to. You're welcome to stay on or drop off as you will.
Hey, Don, I have to drop off the line, but it was an absolute pleasure. Eric, we've got a very, very good Global Garage guy in San Antonio, and I get down there fairly often. Next time I get down there, I'll give you a call, and I'll come up to Austin and see you. I'd enjoy that.
Well, yeah, I actually took notes. I'll flatter you by telling you I actually took notes on some of the things you said. So, yeah, I'd love to meet with you.
Okay, fantastic. But Lance, all right, gentlemen, I'm going to get off the phone. Thank you very
much. Lance, before you do, how do people – what's your website?
Oh, sorry about that. It's globalgarageflooring.com.
Say it again.
Globalgarageflooring.com.
Well, really glad having you. You have to come back, and we'll talk more about franchising.
It'd be my pleasure. Just let me know when you want me.
You got it.
Thanks, man. Bye. Take care, Eric.
Eric, if you want to stay on.
I actually have to go myself. I have a very important. And I just wanted to thank you personally again for having me on. And it's a great resource, and I'm really impressed with what you're doing by offering this to business owners. I love the title, too, Garage to Office. That's just so succinct. So but thank
Eric,
you so much.
Wait, before you go, tell us your website.
Oh, yeah, it's avilasoccer.com, so A-V-I-L-A, avilasoccer.com. And pretty easy to find, hopefully. It should pop up quickly.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.